Blog Talk Radio. Winder, Georgia, after officials say a suspected shooter opened fire in Appalachia High School.
The 14-year-old student here at the high school, again, he has been taken into custody. He will be charged with murder, and he will be tried as an adult.
This video capturing terrifying moments after gunfire rang out. Police say deputies and emergency medical personnel rushed to the high school at about 10:23 a.m. in response to an active shooting. The school put on lockdown.
There's just like a loud boom.
Authorities say the gunfire left 4 dead, 2 teachers and 2 students, and 9 injured.
Our school resource officer engaged him. The shooter quickly realized that if he did not give up, that it would end with an OIS, an officer involved shooting. He gave up. Got on the ground, and the deputy took him into custody.
Golf coach David Phoenix was shot twice and is alive, according to his daughter, who posted on Facebook that he's in stable condition.
My heart hurts for these kids. My heart hurts for our community. But I want to make it very clear that hate will not prevail in this county. Love will prevail over what happened today.
Students returned back to school in August, sophomores describing the terrifying moment.
I didn't know what was going to happen because you could hear the gunfire right down the hall. So I was shaking. She's scared.
I thought I was going to die. Student Itzel Navarrete says she was shaken up and scared.
How does it feel that this happened at your high school?
I'm shocked something like this could happen here.
Panicked parents rushed to the school, later reuniting with their children at the football field.
My daughter called me at work. Screaming that there was a shooter at Appalachia.
President Biden briefed today, writing, Jill and I are mourning the deaths of those whose lives were cut short due to more senseless gun violence. Former President Trump posting, these cherished children were taken from us far too soon by a sick and deranged monster. At a rally in New Hampshire, Vice President Harris remarking,
it's senseless. It is. We've got to stop it. And we have to end this epidemic of gun violence in our country once and for all.
And Priya, have investigators reached out to the suspect's family yet?
That's right, Lester. Authorities have spoken to the suspect's family, but they say the investigation is ongoing. School here is closed for the rest of the week. The community is gathering tonight for a vigil to mourn the victims. Lester.
All right, Priya Schreeder, thank you. Thanks for watching.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. And once again, a senseless mass shooting and the start of a new school year. Same story, just different tune, different people.
I'm sick of this. When are Republicans going to wake the hell up and do something about gun violence? They're so bethrown and bethrottled to the NRA that they refuse to do anything. And that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not against the Second Amendment. And for people listening, you know, when the Second Amendment was written, it was written when there was muskets. Not AR-15s, not assault rifles or assault weapons. Why can't we come to the show one night and be happy? You know, we'll have to have this senseless gun shooting. We'll have to talk about idiot Donald Trump. We'll have to talk about, you know, the fascism that's taking over America. Why can't we just be happy and come to the show one night and talk about good things that's happening in America? Why? Because of Donald Trump the NRA Republicans. They're destroying the country, and I'm sick of it. I'm literally sick to the stomach, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Both figuratively and literally. You know,
yeah.
Oh, my God. God,
You know, this young man was only 14 years old. I mean, 14 years old. I can't imagine what was going through his mind at 14 years old.
Listen, I'm getting conflict in reports. Is it he or she who did it? It was a boy.
I heard it was a young man. I don't know. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess. I think it was a young man. If I run across the name, I did run across the name, and it's kind of a name that could maybe be either or, but I thought I read that it's a young boy, and I won't even call him a young man because, 14 years old, he obviously had some problems. So yesterday, just about a month into the school year, a 14-year-old wielding an assault weapon shot and killed two adults, two students, and wounded nine others. The shooter was a student at Appalachia High School who has now been taken into custody. Yesterday's shooting once again shines a spotlight on America's unyielding gun violence crisis, and serves as a stark reminder that when our lawmakers repeatedly fail to pass common sense safety gun laws, our communities are left to pay the price. And this is what we know about the 14-year-old shooter. The shooter was identified as 14 years old. He was a student at Appalachia High School. He will be charged with murder and tried as an adult, according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Authorities are still investigating possible motives. According to federal investigators, the shooters have been interviewed more than a year ago by law enforcement officials in connection to threats made online of a school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
What we know about the firearm that was used, Chris Hosley, the doctor of the GBI, said at Wednesday night's briefing that an AR-15-style assault weapon was used in the incident. Authorities are investigating how the 14-year-old was able to obtain the semi-automatic rifle. Georgia state law does not prohibit the sale or possession of assault weapons like AR-15s, nor does it have any age restrictions in place to prevent minors from purchasing rifles or shotguns from unlicensed sellers. That may be a problem. Preventing law requiring that the gun owners secure their firearms when they are not being used to prevent theft and misuse.
The father of Cole Gray, the teen suspected in the Appalachian High School shooting, he has been arrested, and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation announced Thursday that Colin Gray, who's 54 years old, is being charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. So the 14-year-old shooting suspect has been charged in 4 counts of felony murder, which is a good thing. And I'm glad that he's going to be tried as an adult because, you know, usually when things like this happen, where did we go wrong as a society? I think a 14-year-old can do this. But if it were an African-American or a brown person, they dig up all sorts of dirt on that person. So you notice how the media is handling it, where, they're like trying to like justify, you know, a white person compared to a black person or brown-skinned person who did this. But I'm glad now that's thrown out of the window, it seems like, as they're going to try this 14-year-old kid as an adult, you know, and as two students and two teachers were killed when he opened fire at a school in Windsor, Georgia, on Wednesday morning. Nine others were wounded and hospitalized, but they're all expected to survive and to make a full recovery. So at least one other remaining hospital in stable condition. And police and federal agents were investigating if the weapon used in a school in the shooting, described by officials as an air-style weapon, like you're saying, was purchased by the teen's father as a gift for his son in December 2023, according to four federal law enforcement sources. Close to the investigation. But continue, Lori. I didn't mean to cut you, but, oh, God.
No. Okay. You know, and then the second part of the story, I don't mean to say the second. So this young boy, 14-year-old, is going to be tried for murder. Will probably spend the rest of his life in prison. And then the next time that this happens in another school, in another city, or at a concert, or in a mall, or in a restaurant, same thing. Sometimes they get the shooter, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they kill the shooter. This time they did. They did. They did. They. It got him alive. They caught him, and he's alive. But
well, yeah, because he's white. He's white. Remember, he's white.
Yes, but the point of, I understand what you're saying, David. I'm not going against that at all. But what I'm trying to say is that yes, they caught him. He's going to go through the system. He's going to be charged with murder. He's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And the next shooting will happen at the next time, and we go through the same scenario, you know, and nothing gets solved. Nothing gets solved. The AR-15s are still available to be bought. They are, you know, the assault rifles are still on the market. So what's changed? Not a damn thing. And now the father of the Georgia High School shooting suspect was arrested. Should he have been arrested? Sure. His son is 14 years old. How did he get a hold of that AR-15? And second of all, why did he have an AR-15? That is a weapon of war. And I don't care. I don't want to hear anyone calling in here and telling me different. I don't want to hear about the bullet sizes. I don't want to hear how fast they go through there. I don't want to hear anything. They mutilate and kill people. Bottom line, they should not be in anyone's possession at this point in our society. So
and
the father
also,
and the
and you know, in May last year, the suspect and his father were both interviewed by the Jackson County Sheriff's Office after the FBI received tips about online posting threats at a school shooting. And the FBI said in a statement Wednesday night, at a time the investigators didn't have enough evidence for an arrest or enough probable cause to take an additional law enforcement action. So according to reports for the Jackson County Sheriff's Office released Thursday, the then 13-year-old claimed that he deleted the Discord account and threats were made from because it keeps getting hacked. So in an incident report, a deputy reported that the teen, quote, assured me he never made any threats to shoot up the school, end quote. You know, so they're going off the word of a 13-year-old. They have a history, he and his father, about, you know, threatening people online. And this idiot father, what sort of parenting is that? Where you buy a 13-year-old fucking child an AR-15. You know, so local police records obtained by CBS News indicate that the alleged shooter parents were going through a divorce at the time. His mother took custody of the two other children in divorce while the suspect stayed with his father, according to the records that were shown. And the alleged shooter is being handled as an adult, which he should be. Because if you're brave and brawny and, you know, bold enough to, you know, shoot a place, you know, like you own a goddamn place, then betray another as an adult, you know. And his first court appearance is scheduled for Friday morning, which is tomorrow. So I hope the judge throw the book at him and they treat him like garbage in there because he's going to be in general population, hopefully. You know, you don't do that to people. You know, you're uncivilized. You know, you're a pig. You don't belong in society, you know. And when he's in prison for the rest of his life, I don't know if Georgia has the death penalty or not, You know, people that don't have a death penalty, because for something like this, that deserves a death penalty. I don't care what anybody say. Usually I'm anti-death penalty, but Jesus Christ, these four people who died, the four people who died, they didn't deserve this. They're just going about the business, minding their own business. And because of what problems you have, you take it out on people. I mean, you know, nobody deserves to die like that. You know, so, you know, no mercy must be shown to somebody animalistic like this, whether it's black, brown, purple, blue, whatever. You know, and NRA needs to take responsibility, you know, and the government of Georgia needs to take responsibility, and we need to come together. Mm-hmm. Democrats have been trying to get Republicans to come to the table with the NRA to say we need guns, sensible gun laws, background checks, red flag laws. Why is it when you compare a red state to a blue state, the blue states have less violence, you know, the violence go down compared to red states? Because these assholes love their guns. It's a sickness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now the father of the young man, Colt Gray, the teen suspect in the Appalachian High School shooting, has been arrested. And I'm glad, I'm very happy that they arrested the father. I really am, because I do believe that that father had a responsibility to teach his son about gun safety and or lock up the gun or hide the gun or not have bullets near the gun, however you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So Colin Gray, who is 54,
I just read that.
Yes.
Yeah, I just read that, Lori.
Yeah, I know. And he deserves what he deserves. I don't feel sorry for him at all. He should have been a better parent. And, you know, I don't even know what else to say about that, except for being charged with, you know, manslaughter, four counts of manslaughter. Yeah, that'll get you a prison sentence like they did in Michigan here.
And then what we spoke about in other shows related to gun violence is that we should have gun liability insurance laws. So when the kid grabs the parent gun or even uses their gun to murder somebody or a group of people, then, you know, with gun liability insurance laws, then they could stand to lose everything. And I bet you any money that it will, you know, generate more awareness in terms of protecting your gun and making sure that, you know, your kid don't go up there and murder people, because you're going to lose your house, your car, everything, you know?
Well,
and that's a good thing.
Well, freedom as well, you know?
Especially freedom.
You know, yeah, you don't have your freedom, you don't have your life. Everything else falls down right up. So I guess I've been thinking about this. How can you be anti-abortion and not be anti-gun? I mean, that is so hypocritical to me. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So you can be, you know, pro-life and say life begins at conception and, you know, all of that stuff. But you don't have a problem with owning guns, machine guns, these guns of mass destruction. I don't care. I'm sorry, they're mass destruction. Anything that can kill you in 2 seconds flat and just make you look like hamburger, to put it mildly. You are not anti. You are not pro-life. You can't be. If you
the thing is, with these right-wing hypocrites, if it don't fit their narrative, there's nothing in the Constitution about, you know, abortion and, you know, right to life and what have you. Well, yeah, there is a separation of church and state. Yeah, that's one part of it. But at the same time, you know, the God of the Bible and not the Constitution, and if it don't directly affect right-wing nut jobs, then they don't care about it. You know, they can be two-faced any which way about any which topic. And, you know, they're confrontational. They're not mature enough and big enough to come to the table and, like, talk it out and reason. There's no reasoning power. There's no critical thinking, you know. So
you just can't. You can't be both and not be a hypocrite. You just cannot.
Exactly.
You cannot be anti-abortion and still love your guns, especially. I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about a hunting gun. I'm not talking about going to the rifle range, you know, belonging to a gun club. I'm not talking about being a responsible gun owner, because I know that that is a sport, just like golf is a sport, and, you know, football, baseball, all of that. I understand that. But if you do not realize that an AR-15 is a weapon of war, then you cannot be pro-life. You just can't. It does not gel. It doesn't make sense. So somebody explain that to me. I really would like an explanation.
Maybe this Florida from Florida can. I think this is Kathy from Florida, Ocala. Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hey, not much tonight. I was watching that about. Hey, hi. I was just watching that earlier. They arrested the father tonight.
Yeah, we spoke about that. What do you think is an ample punishment? What do you think is an ample punishment for the father, seeing that it was he who got the kid, the 14-year-old kid, a gun, knowing full well that this kid was threatening people online? You know. Do you think the punishment should be as rough as what a child would get? What would you do in that situation?
Well, yeah, because Dad knew it. Dad knew it. He was there last year when the FBI visited them and talked to them. He says, I'll keep the guns away from him. Well, why didn't he?
He bought the gun for him.
he bought it for him?
It's a freaking gift. Yes, it's a gift.
Well, then, you know what? Yeah. If Dad knew this from last year and still bought him a gun, then, you know what? Dad can go down with the kid. Sorry. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, 4 counts of manslaughter will get you many years.
Plus
years.
Murder.
All they got him for, though. They got him for multiple charges. Like five or six different things. The kid's only charged with murder, or the dad's charged with like five or six things. Which, you're the adult,
Yeah, and he's only. I mean, I'm not making excuses, but at 14 years old,
why did he need an AR-15?
If you, number one, that's the first thing. But the second thing is. At 14 years old, if you have those kinds of thoughts, you know, and obviously there was something wrong with this young man, then it was not addressed at all.
He was fascinated with the Parkland shooter.
Well, that's not normal.
No, it's not normal. And there were other shooters that he was fascinated with. There was definitely something wrong there.
Yeah. You know, there's just something wrong with him. He needed, you know, guidance. I don't know what he needed, but some real deep therapy. And he needed some parents to do the crap.
The aunt jumped online and said that the kid was bullied all his life. That's why he did it.
You know, and that happens a lot in high school, and in middle school, and in grade school. Not as much in grade school, I don't think, but middle school is probably the worst. And it does happen in high school as well. And, yes, some of these kids are bullied. Yes, they are. But that's
not a solution. It's not a solution.
It does
to, going there and shooting up a goddamn place and murdering people.
Right. That does not give you an excuse. No, absolutely not. You know, they used to have guidance counselors back in the day. I don't know if they have that anymore.
At the high school level,
sit.
They do.
Yeah, but they probably have one guidance counselor, maybe two at the most, for, how many, 1,000, 2,000 students. You know what I'm saying?
1,900 kids at that school.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's not enough. But, and being a parent, maybe he wasn't, I don't know anything about the parents. I didn't hear anything about the mother, but they didn't see that their son was not right,
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see that, he had a fascination with, other mass murderers. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they didn't notice that. I mean,
yeah,
I haven't heard them mention a mom either, period.
The only mention of the mother is that she took the two younger kids and was divorced from the father and he stayed. And I can't really blame the mother for not wanting to take him. He's an asshole, obviously. So there are many articles and blogs and editorials written about how government attempts to restrict abortion as an attack on women's health care and a right to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
While I agree with these arguments, they miss the point of the real reasoning behind anti-abortion religious, or should I say pseudo-religious fanaticism. What's
mm-hmm.
abundantly clear is that the pro-life speech that, quote, life begins at contraception, is just a cover-up for the religious right's maniacal zeal to prohibit sex for any purpose other than procreation, and this basic authoritarian patriarchal zeal hold that sex is a sin. Even though between married couples, if one engages in this forbidden activity, the consequences or punishment, if you will, is that you must bear the child. That is it, in a nutshell. And so this extremism by these pseudo-religious people, they're anti-sex,
mm-hmm.
Puritanical stances further played out by the religious right's frequent opposition to contraception because it may block a pregnancy that is supposed to follow from the forbidden act. And likewise, fear of contraceptions does not justify abortion. So this extreme, intolerant, inadequate, antiquated view motivates the endless intensifying insane drive to stop abortion. So that's one thing. So another thing is that the so-called pro-life stance is pure hypocritical, like you said. It's hypocrisy. All the people who are against abortions want to be, are interested in the results in pregnancy and birth. So the same thing can be said about guns and firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Where, having a gun, the sole purpose of a gun is to kill. Okay, whether you're hunting or whether you're at war or whether to protect yourself and your family, the main thing is for war. These are straight up religious people need their heads examined. They need serious counseling because this obsession and fascination with guns. What's even more shocking is that most of these who are anti-abortion have absolutely no interest in limiting the amount of harm caused by firearms in private hands in the United States. Like we said, we're not anti-Second Amendment here. But the extent of gun ownership and gun violence in this country is shocking. Yet the government's measures to limit or reverse this is pitifully ineffective. And why is it ineffective? Because of the power of the NRA. NRA has how many members? 3 million members, but yet still over a nation of over 30 million people. I don't know how much the country is now, but if 3 million people can control the narrative of gun control and gun violence, do we have a safe democracy? From their absurd point of view, government should prosecute women who have abortions but do practically nothing extreme gun violence, mm-hmm. where kids are being murdered, where adults are being murdered, where women who mm-hmm. trying to get away from their husband or spouses are being murdered. You know, they don't want to put in laws, red flag laws. Say, hey, you beat the woman mm-hmm. up, you beat the wife or your girlfriend up or fiance, you shouldn't have a gun. But right wing zealots and these so called religious people are for it, because why? Women should know the place. You know, that's the mm-hmm. that's the angle they're taking it from. Not worried about the woman's safety. You know, so Statista reported that 42% of the United States households own at least one firearm. And some have more, mm-hmm. many more, because the total number of guns and rifles in private hands in the United States is 393 million, which is substantially mm-hmm. more than the entire population in the United States. So you have more guns than we have people in the United States. That's absurd.
Yes.
That's crazy. You know, it seems
yep.
in the view that owning guns is just an important a right to protect the right of a fertilized egg to be born. That is so shitty. You know, it's an egg.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't developed yet. But yet still, you know, you're forcing women who are raped or women who,
mm-hmm.
you know, were what's the word I'm looking for again? The family
oh,
member. Incest. You
there
know,
you
when incest happens and a person gets pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Where are your priorities, right-wing America? You know, I mean, forget about the NRA. The NRA is shit. You know, they just want to sell guns and make money. That's all there is to it. But these Republicans who are elected, look out for the people who elected you. You know, what's wrong with you, man? And I'm sick of this sick and tired about, oh, you know, thoughts and prayers. Do something,
mm-hmm.
man. As Michelle Obama said in her Democratic National Convention speech, do something. Come on, now.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to know where the right wing now, and I heard this yesterday when I took my husband to physical therapy from the secretary, that she says it's just going to keep happening, you know, because that fits right into their agenda. I know I was making more money 4 years ago, blah, blah, blah. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And but
mm-hmm.
then,
yeah,
then today it comes out. They're blaming Democrats because
– yeah.
They do this all the time. Now she can bring this up at the debate and
mm-hmm.
argue the point.
But how
mm-hmm.
How is it Democrats' fault, Kathy?
That's what I want to know. It wasn't the Democrats. These are all Republicans doing it.
There is so the problem is that there is so much misinformation out in the universe right now that if you do not have a brain for critical thinking, if you cannot think about, if you can't read something and then say, well, you know what, let me think about this. Let me look at another source. I mean, if you can't do that, if you believe every single thing that you read, that's your own fault. Or every single
mm-hmm.
thing that you hear, that's your own fault. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just can't do that. I don't believe, just because a Democrat says something, do I believe everything that a Democrat says? No,
mm-hmm.
absolutely
mm-hmm.
not. Because there are
but
things that they say as well for their own political
mm-hmm.
gain. We know that.
Yes.
We know
example,
that.
Example, a perfect example, Lori and Kathy, J.D. Vance last week, was praising the Wisconsin shooter. What's his face again?
Rittenhouse.
Rittenhouse, yes. That,
oh,
you know,
yes.
People should emulate him. And lo and behold, the following week, you know, I mean, you are elect leaders like that, America, the right-wing people listening
yeah.
in, you know,
yeah.
saying Rittenhouse is a goddamn hero, where he traveled across state lines with an AR-15
yes.
and kill people. Is that who
yes.
you want to emulate and have as your leaders?
Yes,
I
want to
know, why wasn't he charged in Wisconsin and tried in Wisconsin? He was charged in his home state and tried in his home state. Bullshit. That's not where he committed the crime at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I yet to understand that whole situation really, really was messed up. I don't know how else to put it. you know.
No.
So let's go through for a moment the differences between what the Democrats and what the Republicans would like as far as gun safety. Let's not say gun control, because maybe these right-wing zealots, they don't like the word control. So let's just say, let's try to negotiate something. So let's see the difference between what the Democrats would like to see done with sensible gun violence, just sensible, you know. So, you know, I think we live in a great country, don't we? You know, we send our children to school and we think that they're safe there, you know, and we want them to learn. We want them to grow. We want them to have good lives and be happy and have friends. We don't send them there so they have to worry about being shot and killed and traumatized for the rest of their lives. They don't want to do that. And there was yesterday, I listened to this young man who is a teacher on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And when this all happened, of course, he had to talk about it. It was not in the school that he teaches, but he, as a teacher, he says, I carry a fear every single day. And he was talking about, there was another teacher at another school that said that whenever they have like a lockdown, they've had a lockdown before, they have suckers, okay? They hand these kids out suckers so that they don't cry or scream. They have put suckers in their mouth that they can hide and put suckers in their mouth. When I heard that, I'm like, are you serious? They give them candy so that they don't scream if they have a shooter coming. That's their plan. That's the plan. I find that outrageous.
Yes, it is.
Outrageous.
I don't understand how the kid was sitting in class, got up out of class, left for a half hour. Where the hell did he have the gun at? Because he came back with the gun.
Maybe he lived to the school and got to walk. I don't know. Are they allowed to open carry around there? I don't know.
Yeah. They are?
Yeah, Georgia's open carry, yes.
Yeah, so there you go. So maybe he was a tall kid, didn't look like he was 14. He just walked to school with a freaking gun. No one paid attention. Obviously, I don't know how else. I don't know. That's my guess.
How the hell did he get into school with the gun in the first place? Are there not metal detectors at the doors?
Probably not.
That's ridiculous.
Probably not.
I thought that was a given at all the schools after all the shootings over the last few years.
No, there's no metal detectors.
That's bullshit.
Mm-mm. Not that I'm aware of. Not in the districts around here. I mean, you cannot get in, you know, you cannot, like at my granddaughter's school, you have to press a buzzer outside. You have to say who you are. You show your ID in the camera, and then they let you in. That's the only way you can get into the school. They don't have a metal detector. That's at that school. At the high school, I believe they have something similar to that. You can't just walk into the school. So, but I don't know of any metal detectors. I do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in inner city public schools, there are metal detectors. And a majority of African Americans and brown skinned people go there. So in the upper echelons of white society, you know, or, you know, white schools mostly, they will have metal detectors.
Yeah. I don't know, David, in Detroit, let's say, in the Detroit schools, do they have metal detectors? I do not know. I could not say. I've never asked or even had a conversation about it. So I cannot say. I don't think
they
do that, David.
Here.
Because that's expensive. Think about the expense to do that, for that to be installed. That's an expense. You know, I know that some of the schools have, like this school, I believe, had like two guards. They were actual guards. I believe they were police officers that actually worked there. And, you know, that's how they were able to stop them as quickly as they did, even mm-hmm. though nine people were shot. But, mm-hmm. you know, two were killed and, you know. But I'm just saying, I'm not sure about metal detectors. If somebody knows of a school, let us know.
I just looked mm-hmm. it up, and it said metal detectors are in Grand Rapids, Michigan schools, in public schools, and in private schools. You know, so not all
in private schools.
There
you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. In private schools. That says a lot, David. Not public, private.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that says a lot right there. So, but anyway, so
In Kalamazoo, they're considering putting in metal detectors. That was in April of 2024. And, you know, in Oxford schools, wherever Oxford is in Michigan, Oxford Community Schools will implement new changes as of 2024 school year as part of its updated safety plan. But slowly but surely, you know, I'm just like looking for, you know, within Michigan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, public schools are putting in metal detectors, are considering it. But I know for a fact, having lived in New York, that New York Public School does have metal detectors because of the level of violence that happens in schools like that. You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I was just going to say the Democrats believe that we can reduce gun violence by respecting the rights of responsible gun owners. We believe we should expand and strengthen background checks for those who want to purchase a firearm, because it shouldn't be easier to get a gun than a driver's license. That's a simple concept, isn't it? I mean, you should have to, you know, that's a real simple concept. It shouldn't be easier is right. We believe that we should ensure that guns do not fall into the hands of terrorists, whether they be domestic or foreign, domestic abusers, other violent criminals, or those who have been show signs of danger towards themselves or others. And we believe that we should treat gun violence as the deadly public health crisis that it is. And it is a health crisis. It is. Do any of you think that this is the last school shooting that we will hear about in this school year?
No.
It is not. It is not. Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Laurie, I have a question for both of you. Do you think it should be mandatory to have metal detectors in every school across America? Because this is becoming a regular commonplace where every other Wednesday is a school shooting. You know?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Like in an airport.
I agree as well.
Just like in an airport. And yes, they should have, I don't care if you want to call them armed guards, you can call them whatever you want. You know, police officers, maybe two, and they're the ones that check students in as they go in. Sure, why not?
How about armed teachers?
No.
Republicans want to have armed teachers.
No.
Never.
Okay. Absolutely not. No.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is a teacher. No. I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
She does not have the gumption. She could never do take a gun out
in that mayhem where a school shooter comes, you know, this poor teacher with a gun will probably misfire and hit an innocent student, you know?
Well,
so,
that's what I'm saying. No. How much training do these people, you know, how much training do, you know, police officers have? No, absolutely. That is the most insane idea that I've ever heard. No.
Mm-hmm.
Metal detectors help a lot. And like I said, it does help, you know, to have a buzzer on the outside with a camera. You have to show your ID. I mean, you know, that's not horrible. That's not horrible. That's an extra step. But would I like to see a metal detector? Yes. Yes, I would. I would feel better. Yes, I would. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Doris, are you on the line? Hi, Doris.
Yeah, I was at a fundraiser for that woman served with Kay. She's running against, I think, young guy. And so I was there talking politics with the friend who held the little party, you know, the political thing. So I'm in my car, but I can see what I'm doing in the dark here.
Okay.
I hear you talking about metal detectors.
Yes, we were just talking about should metal detectors, be installed in schools. Would that be maybe helpful, you know, with all the gun violence? Because, you know, yesterday they were in Georgia, they were in school, from what I understand, for a month, and they've already had a shooting, you know.
Yeah.
I saw a later article that said it was the second day of school for them because of Labor Day.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was. Okay. Yeah, I know here they just started this week. So, yeah.
My grandsons have been in school since the beginning of August, basically, here in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They won't be in school much longer. My daughter's pulling them out after yesterday.
Yeah.
She's going to home.
Is she?
Yeah, she said, I'm not. She says, Mom, I can't in good conscience send Aiden and Liam to school every day and hope I don't get a phone call like them parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it does wear on your mind. It does, you know, and it's a shame. You know, when I was going to school, we had the worst thing we worried about was a tornado. You know,
yeah,
and hiding under our desks just in case. I mean, that was the biggest thing, you know. Now they have to worry about this, and it's just terrible, you know. So there's really no excuse for Democrats and Republicans to come together with sensible gun sense laws. I mean, no one's going to take anything away from you, but you should know. Maybe they should put some stiff laws into effect all over the country saying, you know what, you have an AR-15. If this AR-15 is used for anything other than if you use it for hunting, which is insane, but then you know what, you're going to be arrested for it. I mean,
like
I don't know what
else.
Cars. Yeah.
Do it for cars.
Yeah, what else can you do? You know, what else can you do? We know there's things you can do, like red flag laws. But honestly and truly, you know, it seems like the kids that are having these episodes and, you know, this gun violence in these schools, it seems like they are not mentally wrapped tight. There's something wrong with them. And like you said, maybe they're bullied and, you know, or their parents bully them or they're beat by their parents. Who knows what the situation is? But we do not have enough counselors in these schools to maybe help them, direct them, not a mentor. You know, sometimes they need a mentor, too. You know, a mentor would be great.
The absurdity of this entire situation is mind-boggling. So if people who are anti-abortion were really interested in protecting life, they'd be taking major steps for the government to confiscate virtually all guns and ammunition in private hands and not allow the production of more. Instead, all the government can do is mamby-pamby around about background checks, gun registration, and advice to keep firearms locked away from children. Big whoopity-doo, you know? Meanwhile, the NRA and gun manufacturers are making billions upon billions of dollars selling instruments of debt. You know, it should be in the front line of wars, but we'll have regular folks who, you know, don't have any critical thinking or even common sense, you know, buying up these guns. And when I get upset about things, you know, their solution is just to kill people. So we can't have abortions, but we must live in a society that allows random shootings and massacres of innocent children.
That's why I said it is. It's hypocritical.
They showed a picture of Congress today, and they're wearing AR-15 pins again.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of course they are. You know.
The Republicans want it to be the national gun, the Air 15. That's why they wear those pins. I think it's sickening.
Yep.
It's sickening. They're revolting. They're so revolting, and people should vote them out. But with all this gerrymandering, I think that's an impossibility for gerrymanders like MTG to get out of power because, you know, the gerrymandered so badly that somebody like her who has no business in government is in government as a congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just appalling and sickening and degrading. You know, she's useless, you know? She's as useful as tits on a bull. That's how useful Marjorie Taylor Greene is. The woman is disgusting.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about gun rights advocate at the Republican convention and where he spoke out about the ramifications of, if the GOP gains control again in November. And it was in Milwaukee that the Republicans had their convention. And Republicans speaking at the concealed carry event, it was on a Tuesday, just days after a gunman attempted to kill their presidential nominee, Donald Trump, which I think that was a setup, but we'll go there, insisted that the party won't change its stance on the Second Amendment rights. The attendees at the one-hour session hosted by the U.S. Concealed Carry Association near the Republican Convention weren't able to conceal any firearms since it was held inside a Secret Service security checkpoint. So, but those in attendance heard from Trump campaign senior advisor Chris LaCivita and three members of the Congress about what the plans will be for gun rights. Should they sweep Congress and the White House during November's election coming up in 59 days? And I quote LaCivita saying, "I think what we see is a continuation of support and defending the Second Amendment, and where that really comes into play in the judiciary, the appointment of judges. And so that is clearly, one of the largest impacts that President Trump has clearly during his first term was remake of the judiciary," end quote. So basically, they want to pack the Supreme Court with Second Amendment advocates who are Christians, who don't really go off the Constitution, they go off the Bible to make their decisions, you know, and the Florida congressperson, Kat Kamek, speaking with reporters after the event, said that the GOP was absolutely not considering changing support for the Second Amendment rights. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump on Saturday, that same Saturday, was injured by a gunman at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. One person was killed and two others were injured, and the shooter was killed on the scene. So even with that happening, Donald Trump, where there was a quote-unquote attempted assassination, you know, there's still gung-ho about, you know, keeping the guns and not being responsible and not being safe with it and, you know, making sure that we have red flag laws and background checks to make sure guns don't go in the hands of the wrong people. You know, I stand 1,000% convinced that the fact that the Republican Party will always stand for the Constitution and the Second Amendment and our rights to bear arms, as what Congressperson Kamek said. And that went on to further say, one deranged individual who clearly needed help, he's not going to change the United States Constitution or our rights. As Americans to bear arms, absolutely not. So, okay, that's the thing, though, Congressperson Kat Kamek. It's just not one random person. It's happening every other week, you stupid ass. You know? What is wrong with the congressperson from Florida? Well, then again, it's Florida, so who do I expect better?
Yep.
I'm sorry, Daphne. No insult intended.
No,
Jesus
no.
Christ,
no.
Man.
There's a woman that's running to unseat Skeletor.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Debbie Mercosal, which it's a hyphenated last name.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I would love to see him unseated by her.
Me
too. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this Kamek said it's shocking and inappropriate for any lawmaker to call for changes to gun laws in the wake of tragic events like mass shootings. She criticized Democrats for not making similar comments
following the Trump shooting. Ha, ha, ha to that.
Too bad the kid missed. Sorry.
Yeah. I feel Trump shooting was like a setup. I think Trump shooting was a setup. You know?
Yeah, it
and,
was.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going for sympathy. Huh?
Yeah, it went wrong. Two people got killed. It went wrong.
Yeah.
But yes, I believe I kinda had that feeling myself. Because the next day he was on the golf course. He was at the golf course, you know, today, and he did not even have a Band-Aid on his ear. But at the convention, he had a tampon on his ear, about the size of a tampon.
It was a maxillary, right?
A maxillary,
right?
Yeah. You know, so.
So during the panel discussion at this Republican event, Congresswoman Kamak said Republicans need to talk to the 10 million hunters and gun owners throughout the country who are not registered to vote to ensure that they change that and go to the polls in November. So, you know, it's guns at all costs and to hell with children and innocent people who have been victims of gun violence for no apparent reason because nobody did anything to this this gunman. You can look at the different cases that have happened in the past. It's just people, you know, give or take, need mental help. You know, so why in God's name would you not have background checks, red flag laws, open carry, and not concealed, you know, laws? You know, it's just this unhealthy gun obsession America has because of the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
So do you think that the Second Amendment should be amended or totally gotten rid of?
Yes.
I would say amended.
Amended,
it's never
going
to be totally gotten rid of. It's not going to happen, David. It'll never happen. For me, I could care less if we have a Second Amendment or not. I mean, it doesn't affect me any way, shape, or form. But an amendment would be a wonderful thing. I mean, I think it would solve a lot of problems. And I like the idea of having to have the insurance stating, the gun liability insurance, I think that that's important to have. I've never heard a lawmaker ever talk about it that I know of. That might be a good thing to talk about at some point.
I just want to know why Republicans, they want everybody to have kids, right?
Yeah,
but they won't do gun control. What do they want? More targets?
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what they're getting.
Yes, and you're right, Kathy. The whole thing is so backwards and upside down. You cannot be pro-life and still be pro-Second Amendment for guns of war. I mean, we see what these AR-15s do. We see what they can do to people. We see they can kill, 10 people in 20 seconds? I don't know. But it's like a spray, you know? I mean, it makes no sense. So if you are pro-life, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no other way to put it.
Nope.
When there was a 10-year ban under when Biden... the deaths went down, and I don't know that anyone came up with a compelling reason why they had to bring them back because of something that not having those guns hurt them, hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by not having the guns. But it was a 10-year, and it did. The deaths went down. Now that's sort of a good argument. Yeah, it's a really good argument. I mean, we've had our share here in Michigan, but they have strengthened our gun laws here. They really have. We have the red flag law here. They've made some changes in the legislature, you know, for gun control. But will it stop another mass shooting? We don't know that. We don't know that. You know, but at least they try to put something into place. At least try. And if that doesn't work, you go to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how we have to roll, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to other things now. Gina Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, privately, he prays on a major religious right group for fighting efforts to reform the nation's highest court, the Supreme Court,
yeah,
and the effort sparked in large part by her husband's ethical lapses. Now, a decent person in Clarence Thomas's shoes would do the right thing, either recusing himself or, better yet, resigning from the position. But Thomas expressed her appreciation in an email sent to Kelly Shackelford, an influential legislator whose clients have won cases at the Supreme Court. And Shackelford runs the First Liberty Institute, a $25 million a year organization that describes itself as the largest legal organization in the nation, dedicated exclusively to defending religious liberty for all Americans. And Shackelford read Thomas's email aloud on July 31st on a private call with his group top donors. And Thomas wrote that First Liberty's opposition to courtroom reform proposals gave a boost to certain judges. According to Shackelford, Thomas wrote in all caps, quote, "You guys have filled the sales of many judges. Can I just tell you, thank you so, so much," end quote. So Shackelford said he saw Thomas' support as evidence that judges who can't go out into political sphere and fight were thankful for First Liberty's work to block Supreme Court reform. Now, isn't that dangerous based on what Clarence Thomas did, you know,
of
where
course.
He took back kickbacks from Harlan Crow, who had four or five different cases in front of him? That's a big, red flag right there. That's a conflict of interest.
Yep. Absolutely dangerous. And if they can do that and think it's okay, what else are they doing? The Supreme Court is supposed to be the Supreme Court of the country, right? They are supposed to be the ones that, you know, are the models for law and justice. But they're not. It's obvious.
And
at
the
least,
thing is,
what,
the thing
three
about
of them
it
or four of them
that,
are not?
The thing about it, though, is that the Supreme Court, while every other court in the land has ethical watchdogs, the Supreme Court has none. So they're beyond reproach, basically, and they can do anything and say and get away with anything and not have consequences. We've seen it now with Clarence Thomas, we saw it with Justice Antonin Scalia, may his soul rest in eternal hell. You know, he's dead now, thank goodness. You know, but, you know, I mean, what can be done really to, you know, really generate support for, you know, reform, serious reform in the Justice Department, not Justice Department, but the court system?
Supreme Court. I mean, who really trusts the Supreme Court now? Do we trust them? I mean, I feel sorry for... who is the one that President Biden put into place a couple years ago? I can't think of her name right now. It just escaped me.
Ketanji?
No. The one that President Biden just put into place.
Ketanji. In the Supreme Court?
Ketanji Brown.
Yes.
Ketanji Brown.
Yeah, Ketanji Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, she put out a memo, and she is not against Supreme Court reform. She's not. And the rest of them are a little upset with her. Well, I wonder why. You know? But if you cannot control yourself and, you know, take, you know, these vacations and, you know, Thomas had a home paid for his mother, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on. And you're talking millions of dollars here. And if you have a problem with that, then you shouldn't be sitting on the Supreme Court. That's not part of what your job is. Not to take, basically, it's taking bribes. Because when that case comes up in front of you, and that person is giving you luxury gifts and trips
around
et cetera, et cetera, what are you going to do? Are you going to be in their favor? More than likely you are, right?
And added to which, Lori, is that some things that have come out recently that haven't been made public yet, I don't know why not, that Justice Thomas lied about certain things, and he wasn't forthcoming in telling other things about money he took. And, you know, it's going to eventually come out, maybe after the election, but I find it shocking. No, I'm not. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being sarcastic. You know,
that
up to now, he hasn't been removed. You know, he should be forced to resign. But of course, in order to ruin their majority, 5-4 majority. They'd rather have politics and religion corrupt our court system and go by the Constitution.
Well, you know,
sickening.
They thought President Biden was too old, and they thought he was senile, and he had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
They forced him to step down. Well, they could do the same thing with him. Same thing. Say you're too old to be on the Supreme Court. You're taking bribes. Maybe you don't know what you're doing anymore. I mean, really, come on. If there's a will, there's a way. But, you know, Lori, one of the things that makes me think of the concept of no one is above the law in terms of the Supreme Court, the highest of them, basically you're saying they're the law because they don't have to follow any guidelines. And what the Supreme Court decided also is that the president is above the law because he can be immune. And this whole concept of being above the law, we can no longer have the law because they do put people in a higher place to not have the same guidelines as anyone else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I am not for presidential immunity. A president is elected by the people. And he needs to follow the law just like everybody else, just like we do, just like everyone. You follow the law, and you break the law, you pay the piper. I mean, that's how it should be. That's how a country does not fall. That's how a country stays, you know, sovereign and strong, you know.
And that's why before the Revolutionary War, America, you know, did that with Britain where, you know, we had a constitution, the Magna Carta, all that good stuff. We didn't want to have a king, but Trump, with the help of the Supreme Court, is going to be a king / dictator. And, you know, we hear it over and over again, and his people, his MAGA cultists, making excuses for him. So, oh, he didn't really mean it that way, just reading into it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He says what he's going to do. And when somebody tells you who they are, goddamn believe them. Stop voting for them. Because you, the person who's the right winger who supports Trump, you know, you think that after he turns against people who disagree with him, he's not going to turn against you? Because any dictator or regime who comes in, you had it with the Pol Pot in Vietnam. You had it with Chairman Mao in China. And with Stalin in the former Soviet Union, where as soon as they came to power, the first goddamn thing to do is went from door to door and taking away people's guns and ammunition. And anybody who resisted was shot in the head, and their relatives got the bill for the bullet. Okay, so you don't think that will happen under Trump authoritarian regime? Think again. You know, stop being stupid. Trump, if you're if you're on fire, he wouldn't piss on you to put out the fire. You know, so, I mean, stop supporting Trump. I know with this latest shooting in Georgia, he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, there's an opening on the top of the show saying, what kind of evil monster does something like this? Wasn't it he, when the previous school shooting before this, saying, you know, life goes on and so should we, get over it? He said that.
Yeah, get over
You know, I guess those were Hispanic kids. I guess those were Hispanic kids, so he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
But no, because, you know, white people, I mean, I don't mean to make it black and white or, you know, white versus whoever, but this is how Republicans think. This is how Donald Trump thinks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, we should get over, you know, people like him trying to muddy the waters and just talk and spewing any garbage and rhetoric for more votes. You know, America is better than this, man. You know, I'm just beside myself in grief and horror, you know, to think that a man like Trump still have a chance with 59 days to go to be president of the United States again. Once he's in, I promise you, MAGA idiots out there who are listening, I don't know you listen, because sometimes you call in and try to be real sure, and it's not going to happen again. Because say three of them lined up here to call in, I'm not taking your calls. We call you idiots. You know, you're a waste of time. Stop voting against the best economic interests, against children of this country, and against, you know, older people, 65 years and older, because what Republicans want to do is take away Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. They want to privatize it or, you know, outright take it away. You know, you don't benefit from Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Okay, they want to take that away from you. There's no simpler way to put it to you. They want to take it away from you, calling it an entitlement. So why would you vote for somebody who wants to take away what you work for? I can't put it any simpler than that, MAGA and other Republicans are independent, leaning towards voting for Trump. These people don't give a fuck about you. And tonight, you know, I'm just letting out all in the air because I'm sick as a dog throwing up and everything. And I'm just aggravated, you know. And I just letting it out and everything. And, you know, making me feel better and everything. Why would you vote for a man who disrespects you when you go to his rallies, whether you paid or not? And when you faint, say, oh, just splash some water on you, you know. I don't care if you die after election day, but we need your vote now. He said that outright. And he mocks you. And he throws you in front of you and disrespects you like that. And yet still, you still vote for this loser. Why? Wake up. I don't know. Donald Trump and the current Republican Party do not give a shit about you nor democracy. Well, it can't put it any simpler way.
But it shows. I mean, at the Democratic Convention, there were Republicans that spoke out against their party. They are no longer in the party. It is not the party that they believed in. It's not the party. I don't know exactly, you know, they call themselves conservatives. I fail to understand what they conserve, but it's okay. But at least they have
status quo.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, what are you conserving when you give when you give billionaires and multi in corporations tax breaks? What are you conserving? Nothing. You're just making the debt larger. So
that's what I'm saying. That is mind-boggling. Ever since, even before Herbert Hoover, there was this president, Calvin Coolidge, first Catholic elected. It wasn't Kennedy. It was Calvin Coolidge. He was from Massachusetts. And the thing about Calvin Coolidge, he was a quiet, unassuming man. And he believed he's the father of trickle-down economics, basically. And during the war in the 20s, he was president. He took over when Warren Harding was assassinated. That's another trivia in there. You know, so when he took over, the business side of Republicans took over. And it was a time also when Theodore Roosevelt was out and about, and he was like, you know, the liberal Republican, basically. So there's an inner conflict in the Republican Party since then to this day. I think the liberal Rockefeller / Theodore Roosevelt type Republican is basically dead now, because the way the conservatives, the fiscal and social conservatives, have the Republican Party in such a grip that any other type of Republican is not allowed. It's basically saying, in a nutshell, in layman's term, if you are a conservative blue dog Democrat who is anti-abortion and who is pro-gun, it's just saying that, you know, you don't belong in the Democratic Party, so why are you here? Joe Connolly, the former U.S. Senator from Indiana, is a perfect example. You know, two election cycles ago, he was U.S. Senator. He was defeated by a Trumper. And basically, if you were put to put the same ideology, and look, you say, who's Joe Connolly and who's the Republican? Because they're so similar in nature, you know? So the Republican Party basically stifled out any type of dialogue with people who disagree with them. It's my way or the highway, and if you don't like it, then sell off, you know? And that is what's killing the Republican Party. I guess the more extreme you are, and the more stupid and insipid, and, like, your mind is constipated, then they love you more. Trump is a perfect example. His mind is so constipated. Every time he talks, shit comes out of his mouth. I don't know if his ass is jealous of his mouth talking so much shit. And what comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is so stupid. You know, I hear these people cheering. It's frightening. Up to this point, I know we should know better, but it's frightening that this moron can be president of the United States in 2 months. What will happen then? Yep. Democracy is dead, and there's not a goddamn thing anybody can do about it.
No. No. And that, you know, and that is the truth. If we value our freedom, if we value, you know, our life, if we value our society, if we value this, our family, and our way of life, you don't want this man to be president of the United States. Now, in saying that, do I say that about every single Republican? No. There are some Republicans like Liz Cheney, and, you know, there's a few out there that I don't mind. I wouldn't go crazy if they became president. No, I wouldn't. I would suck it up for 4 years. But this man, I can't. I can't suck it up. I can't fathom the thought of this man being in the White House again. He is a traitor to our country. He's a traitor to our country. Nothing more, nothing more. He has no love for this country. It's only what he can suck out of this country and its people. He doesn't care. But why don't some people understand that? Why can't they see that? Why? He just said in an interview, and I heard him, I sat there and listened, and I thought, okay, I'm going to give this 5 minutes. And they asked him about, and they call him entitlement, and that irritates the crap out of me. They are not entitlements. Social Security and Medicare, when you work, you put that money in that fund. When you retire, you get portion, you get that money back. That's how it works. But they call it entitlements because they want to make you think like you're getting something for free, and you're not. And they asked him, do you think, would you, if you become president, you know, what are you going to do about entitlements? Well, he said that they have to seriously be looked at. Well, would you think about cutting them? Oh, yes. I would definitely think about cutting them because that would help our deficit. That's the way he thinks.
Hey, well, Laura, what I see,
I know where the money came from.
What do you feel about, what ladies on the phone right now, what do you feel about Trump softening his stance about the 6-week abortion rule in Florida? Do you think it's just like all talk and
it's transactional. It's like, well, it's not going well that way, so I'll go here because that's his game. Besides, you know, the whole thing, he's not trustworthy, and we already know that. I knew that before he had all these felonies. But I wanted to say, Lori, on the entitlements, in the sense of entitlement, meaning are we entitled to it? That is true. We are entitled to it, just like you're entitled to your salary when you work. You know, they call it entitlements like you don't really deserve it, but really you earned it.
Yeah.
But
they
anyway.
Make it sound like they're giving you something, Doris.
Right.
And they're not giving you anything.
Right.
You know, infuriating. That's what's so maddening. You know,
or the people The people who don't know any better, which is why Trump likes the ignorant. When he said, I love the uneducated, well, it's okay to love people who are educated, uneducated, but he doesn't love them to the point where you'd want them to become educated or become better. He just likes them not to know much, which is the whole point, like himself.
Of course not. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but any time, and there's been a few times that I've noticed a couple reporters and, you know, that have basically asked him questions that he did not want to answer. And he will just say that you're nasty, you know, you're nasty, and, you know, you asked, I'm not going to answer that question, you're nasty, and he just throws it back in their face. I mean, And that is why he doesn't get any pushback, because everyone is afraid of this imbecile.
For what? For what? I don't understand why everybody is afraid of him.
I don't know.
He's a damn loser. He said that to those three black women on stage at their convention that he went to to speak. He did the same thing because he couldn't answer their questions. You're just nasty.
Yeah.
I can't believe you just asked me that question like that.
Yeah.
Instead of telling me welcome to your show or welcome to the place first, whatever. He's a moron.
The thing about it, is that, you know, when he goes to Fox News and, you know, the Bastion or throw softball questions at him, you know, it's just nauseating to think that he gets away with blood and murder, you know?
Yeah.
Look at Dana Bash, for example. I don't know if you saw that interview Dana Bash had with
it was not
that was so disgusting, you know?
Yeah. What was that? Yeah.
She gave Trump a free pass, but, you know, give Kamala and Tim Walz hell, you know? I mean, ask the hard questions, but be fair about it, you know?
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah, she I don't know if anyone saw that interview she had with, Kamala Harris. I mean, she went all the way back with her. I mean, she was asking questions that really, you know, almost insinuating like she was a liar or something, you know, or she didn't do, her record did not show. I mean, it was pretty sad. It was really sad. And, you know, I don't see the same thing. I don't see any reporter, anyone sit down and really ask this orange man any questions that he would have to answer truthfully. No.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Because
he can't. He's stupid.
Because he can't. And they don't want to hear it.
I notice that is when he answers a question.
Yes.
Wait, no, when he answers a question and you dissect what he said, one, he's not answering the question, and two, is word soup that make no sense when you put it together. You're like,
no.
What is he trying
and
to
he
convey? What?
And he changes the subject. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just not fair. It's not right. And I have said this over and over, and I'll keep saying it. I blame the media. I blame the media.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been until this year, but since, 2015, they have been coddling this man because they have been making money hand over fist. Because of that. Because all the sensationalism, all the BS that he has spewed in this country, the division that he has caused, and the hatred that he has caused, and the families and the friendships that he has caused to break up. It's all his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. I don't even consider him a man, period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider him a human.
Nope,
the thing about it, ladies, is that the hate was always there, but it was never so, you know, it was more like subtler, you know, than overt, but now with Trump is just more overt, you know? You know, there's a spat going around now in New York City where, you know, punch an Asian in the face or punch a Muslim in the face. It's on TikTok, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has been discovered that it's MAGA people perpetrating this thing. You get what I'm saying? So the hate is always there.
Yeah.
But Trump
I didn't see that on TikTok.
People.
No,
yeah.
I didn't either.
It brings out the worst in us, you know, because of his head. How can you take a man seriously when he calls Yosemite National Park Yosemite? I mean, what the hell? Yosemite? My God. What is Yosemite? And Covfefe? And what, he makes things up on the media saying, oh, that's so cute. Ha, ha, ha. Imagine if a goddamn Democrat did that, or Hillary, or Barack.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, get a hold of yourself, do your job.
It's because they're held, David, they are held at different standards. They take Trump at his face, as what he is. Wherever he is standing, in a hellhole, doesn't matter where he's standing, in a sewer, that's where they take him, from there.
but they don't take, you know, other, like you said, like Hillary or Obama or, you know, Kamala. They are held a different standard. That's the difference. And it's really, you know, it's maddening.
And what's good is that 4 days ago, Vice President Kamala Harris was in Tennessee, and the whole stadium was filled to capacity.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good sign, because Tennessee is deep red. And for so much people to come out, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. In Georgia, same thing. I mean, everywhere that they have been, it's been, you know, it's been packed, just packed. Their venues are packed with people. And if you notice the difference, it's happy people. It's cheering people. It's people smiling. And positive things are being said. I mean, we're trying to turn the page here, people. Aren't you all sick of hatred and doom and gloom? I am. I know I am. I'm ready to turn the page. I'm ready to have some joy and some happiness and being able to smile at a stranger in a store instead of, you know, wondering, oh, you know, I'm going to wear my Kamala T-shirt. Let someone say a word to me about that. You know?
I put my Kamala stick on my car, and hopefully nobody will destroy my car. Well, we live in blue New Mexico, but, you know, we have some crazies walking around high on drugs.
Of course.
You know, so I'm worried about that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I see a Kamala bumper sticker, you know, the destroy your car. Yeah.
Yeah.
I fear that. Because ignorance is so rampant out there. Like, oh, you're a liberal commie. You know, they don't even know what communism goddamn means, but they're using the word. Fuck you, right wing. Jesus.
Do they even understand what communism is? If they vote him in, that's what they're going to get?
No, they don't understand. If you ask them, I've had people say, oh, the socialist, and I said, what do you mean by that? And they don't know what to say. They don't know what to say.
Do you know that there's a ban Stephen King in Florida, the ban Stephen King books from libraries? And as a librarian, if you have Stephen King books in your library, you could have a hefty fine, and probably you could get thrown in jail. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Stephen King is one of the best libraries ever.
Is that just school libraries or public libraries too?
All libraries.
Wow.
Isn't there a freedom of speech problem there?
Yeah.
You would think. You would think.
Yeah, but it don't apply to their narratives. So if you read a Stephen King book and it's in a public library, that librarian will lose their job. The library gets a hefty fine and all the good things that come with that, you know? Florida. Why is it always Florida or Texas? They're trying to out-crazy each other. What's the deal, man? Seriously.
Both governors are morons, that's why. Hateful morons.
I know nowadays people don't defend what is right. They defend who they like, and, you know, if it benefits, and if they benefit from it, you know? That's how it is, and it's sad. And Republicans are perpetrators of that, you know, under Trump, you know? Yeah. So what do you think about Tina Peters, Laurie?
I think she got what she deserved. Election denier, used to certify the election. She's from Colorado. She was a Donald Trump cultist. And guess what? She woke up today and she's going to have 22 years in prison because she was found guilty of 7 counts of election interference a few days ago.
Where was she from?
Her name is Tina Peters.
Yeah,
Tina
she's from Colorado. Yeah,
Colorado.
Yep, election denier. And she woke up, like I said, today, going to be spending 22 long years in prison just for Donald Trump. You think he's going to help her out?
Nope.
No.
Thank you for going to jail for me.
Sorry. Is he going to call her and say, I'm so sorry that happened to you? Hell no.
Today, they tried to push back. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe people will learn from this, because already in Maricopa County, in Arizona, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Florida, Texas, and where else? I think the trends in Michigan somewhere, where these election deniers are, you know, responsible for certifying elections or in key positions.
Yeah.
And God forbid election day come, they should do the duty and certify the election if and when the Democrats win. But they're going to refuse to do it because they jump on the big lie that Trump told, like, oh, the election was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, Democrats win by a lot, they say, oh, you know, this ballot was tampered with, or, you know, this person is a foreign national who shouldn't vote. Or, geez, Democrats having dead people vote. All sorts of nonsense, even though the evidence shows otherwise. So expect
right.
that
yeah.
a lot across these states, like
yep.
I mentioned. Wisconsin, it's happening
yeah.
in Wisconsin. They're trying to steal election from Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator, who's running for re-election. And trying
yeah.
to make Kamala and Democrats not win in Wisconsin. You know, it's sort of the lie, the cheat, the steal, everything that's trying to suppress and intimidate people not to vote. The closed down election
yeah.
Polling stations, so people either have to walk miles or jump on the bus, the public service, the public bus service, which is not dependable and reliable to begin with. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you
yeah.
vote for a party who's trying to disenfranchise people from voting? Voting is a bedrock of American democracy. Why would you want to vote
mm-hmm.
Republican? Independent person, call in and answer that question. Please, I really want to know.
Yeah, I do too. I really want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, and before we go on to the next thing, oh, go ahead,
mm-hmm.
Lori. You're saying something else.
Well, I wanted to say, I know that, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are being praised, and I mean, their rallies are amazing. You know, 10, 12, 15,000 people at a time. I
mm-hmm.
know all that, but those people are excited there, but they have to vote.
Yep.
They can
mm-hmm.
do these rallies all they want, but they have to take that energy to the voting polls. They have to
mm-hmm.
take that energy and tell other people how excited they are, and they have to vote. We have to win this election in a landslide that we've never seen in our country's history
mm-hmm.
because they are going to try every trick in the book
mm-hmm.
to say that we stole the election again. And we know that did not happen. We just
mm-hmm.
know that didn't happen.
Exactly.
And which is why Trump now is trying to urge Congress to shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wants that to count against
yeah.
Kamala and Joe
yeah.
or whatever, and
yeah.
he's behind it. But people, I don't understand why they're not seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, every day I wonder that same thing. Every single day I wonder, What are they drinking? Is there something in their water? What are they listening to? I don't have the answer. You can't be a Christian and be pro-life but against gun control. I'm sorry, you can't. If you value life, you need to
right.
be provoked. That's it. There's no ifs or buts. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. 515-605-9802, the number to call. We have 25 minutes left in the show and everything. Today's topic, 59 days, give me liberty or give me death. We spoke about the school
yeah.
shooting that happened recently in Georgia. We speak about the epidemic that's happening with gun violence in the country, killing off, you know, innocent people, especially children. Republicans
mm-hmm,
refusing
yeah.
to do anything about it. Democrats are putting the fight to NRA without Republican help. So you'd rather have campaign contributions instead of saving American lives, especially children, next generation. That's how much it means to you, holding on to your office, you know, and not being patriotic enough to say, hey, children are being slaughtered almost on a daily basis. You know, we spoke about, you know, different different topics for tonight. And, you know, soon we're going to talk about Russian interference where Merrick Garland is throwing sanctions against Russia. And it takes aim at Russia disinformation ahead of this November's election. We'll soon talk about that. But you're going to make a point, Lori. Go ahead.
I was just going to basically say that, you know, I was talking about how important this election is.
Yeah.
It isn't, you know, you can be a Republican but still love this country and the democracy and what it stands for. You know, when you have a president, a former president, that goes to the our sacred the cemetery, the
Arlington National Cemetery.
Yes, and goes there for a photo op. Right there, that should tell you that he does not value life. He does not have any sense of sympathy for anyone. He doesn't care. It's only about him. And in this section 60, it is prohibited to take pictures. Prohibited. And they knew that. And they pushed around a woman that worked there to try to explain to them that you cannot take a picture here. It is sacred. It is against the rules here. They did not care. They pushed her away and took thumbs up pictures. Thumbs up.
And then they said she was just suffering a mental episode.
Right. She sure was. She was distressed because she was trying to do her job.
Does she really have to file a complaint? All she has to do is report what happened to her as an employee on the job, and there probably were some witnesses. Why would she have to personally pursue it? Because they violated other rules of Arlington as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I can't answer that, but I just find it appalling that this man
assault. Pushing somebody, putting your hands on somebody, that's assault. Whether you're president or former president, fuck you. You don't push somebody. You don't assault somebody.
Yeah. No. And she was doing her job. And, you know, and like I said, in this section, it's prohibited. Those are the rules. But the rules do not apply to this orange monster. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They never have, and they never will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, let's go on to this Russian interference.
Yeah.
Oh, but before we go on, I want to make this point that Republicans haven't won the popular vote in 16 years. That's four election cycles. You know, what does that really tell you about them?
Yeah.
You know, it says a lot about them.
Of course.
You know?
And that is why we need to, that's why I'm kind of worried about this election. Not because I don't think that they're going to win the popular vote, because I believe that they will.
Mm-hmm.
But the Electoral College scares the death out of me. It scares me.
Because
I think it's important to talk about Russia and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, so the Biden administration seized Kremlin-run websites and charged two Russian state media employees in its most sweeping effort yet to push back against what is, say, the Russian attempt to spread disinformation ahead of this November 2024 presidential elections. The measures, which is in addition to indictments, also included sanctions and visa restrictions, represented a U.S. government effort just weeks before the November election to disrupt a persistent threat from Russia that American officials have long warned has the potential to sow discord and create confusion on voters. You know, Washington has said that Moscow, which intelligence officials have said has a preference for Republican Donald Trump, remains a primary threat to elections, even as the FBI continues to investigate a hack by Iran this year that targeted the presidential campaign of both political parties. Okay, Merrick Garland, I have mixed feelings about this guy. Why? Because why did he wait so goddamn long to pursue this now with 2 months left before the election?
I know.
Why?
I feel like he's all set for the party. If you know what I mean.
You feel what, Lori?
I feel like he's always late for the party.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
right.
Like
yeah.
The party. The celebration.
Yeah, he feels like he's always late
for the celebration.
He feels like maybe if he pursues them, you know, the media will translate that as being him being partisan. But no, it's about saving democracy.
No,
it's about saving democracy. There's nothing partisan about this. Do your goddamn job, Harlan, whatever your name is, Harlan.
Yeah.
Merrick Garland.
One criminal case
disclosed by the Justice Department accused two employees of RT, that's Russian Times, a Russian state media company, over covertly funding a Tennessee-based content creation company with nearly $10 million to publish English language videos on social media platforms, including TikTok and YouTube, with messages in favor of the Russian government's interests and agenda, including about the war in Ukraine. So nearly 2,000 videos posted by the company have gotten more than 60 million views on YouTube alone, the prosecutor said. And two defendants, Konstantin Kolashnikov, oh, Lord, these Russian names, and Elena Afanasyeva.
Good luck.
Are charged with conspiracy to commit money laundering and violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. They are at large. It was not immediately clear if they had lawyers. The Justice Department says the company did not disclose that it was funded by RT and that neither it nor its founders registered as required by law as agents of a foreign principal. So basically, they broke the rule. General Michael Flynn, he did the same thing and he got jail time. So this is jailable offense material where if you work for a Russian, if you work for a foreign agent, you have to tell the Justice Department. You know, so through an indictment, though the indictment does not name the company, it describes it as a Tennessee-based content creation firm with six commentators and with a website identified as, quote, a network of heterodox commentators that focus on Western political and cultural issues. So basically is rumor, the kick the bucket over, cause commotion, and in this commotion, you know, people lose a sense of what's really right, what's really wrong, the put misinformation out there, and Americans who don't have critical thinking to begin with, some of us, you know, they just jump on a bandwagon and say, oh, Democrats are evil communists, you know?
And the other thing is, David, is that they're also spreading propaganda, and I saw a little clip of it today, this afternoon. They're spreading propaganda that President Zelensky in Ukraine is the one that started the war with Russia, that he is the evil one, not Putin. The exact opposite. And the way they explain it, I mean, if you don't know what's going on, you will believe that Zelensky is the bad guy. But he's not. He's trying to save his country and his democracy in his country. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to save Ukraine from Russia. Not the opposite. Not the opposite. But people believe these. These are podcasts that are out there. These people are being paid big bucks by who knows who. Just like what we talked about a second ago.
To say
these things. To spread
and
these
going
lies.
On since. It's going on since 2015 when that orange son of a bitch rat bastard came down the golden escalators. It's been starting then. It's been going on since then. And when is America going to wake up and realize that Donald Trump and his MAGA cultists and the current Republican Party don't care about them?
No.
We can't like put it out in any further layman's term. We'll put it out today in layman's term. And if you don't understand, then hey, you don't have to listen to the show. Basically, you're dumb. This show is too intelligent for you, and this is intelligent talk for intelligent people. And frankly, I don't care if people like that don't listen to the show again, because we're not your target audience. You'll never change. You'll always be insipid and stupid and ignorant, you know. And if Donald Trump jumped over a bridge today, you follow him. That's how blind loyalty is. And it shouldn't be about blind loyalty to one person. It shouldn't be blind loyalty to one political party. But it should be loyalty to the United States of America, the Constitution of the United States of America. You know, not about one man or one party or one ideology. You know, we're trying to get, you know, people coming together as Americans, you know, to move democracy ahead. Democracy is this great experiment that we've been having since 1776. And when a retarded dolt like Donald Trump might come in and say, oh, yeah, you know, you don't have to worry about this election. You know, if you vote no, you have to vote in the next one. This is how authoritarian and that's how dictators speak. And America is not for that. The system is not set up for that. We're better than that. And by hell, we're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow this. And, you know, so keep in mind that, you know, Donald Trump was the one who said that if he loses, blood will run in the streets of America. No Democrat has ever said that. Donald Trump did. You know, so, you know, don't be on this wrong side of history, independent people out there who are considering still, you know, if you should vote for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. You never hear Kamala Harris say those things that Donald Trump has said. That's not wild political rhetoric. What he says is true. And when people tell you who they are, believe them. Because I saw it in the first 4 years of Donald Trump, what a maniacal, evil, twisted, sick bastard he is, you know, looking out for corporations and giving them $7 trillion in tax cuts. And he's going to probably triple it, you know, when he comes in the second term. And God forbid if he leaves after the second term. So wise up. You know, if you're still neutral and don't know who to vote for, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's not like any, I don't know how else to explain except to say, this is an election of our lifetime. This is an election that can change all of our lives. If you think you've been uncomfortable and nerved up and angry and frustrated in the last 9 years because of the orange monster, just wait. Buckle up to what's coming. Project 2025, that he disavows and says he has nothing to do with, he does. He knows. And there are people that he will put in power that wrote Project 2025, and they will follow through because that is their dream. That is what they see America going towards. And that is not what we want. We want to continue our democracy. Is our democracy perfect? No. Our democracy is not perfect. Is our country perfect? No. We have many things to fix, many things that are wrong in this country. But at least we can see that there might be a way. There is a way to fix it. If you pick the right people, if you pick the right politicians and the representatives and people that actually care, there will be a difference. Things change when you care.
Yes. And a final thing for tonight. Final thing tonight is Trump did try and start new wars, expand old wars, increase drone strikes, and help do genocide in the Middle East. So, you know, Trump is not an anti-war president. Trump almost started a new war in his first year in office when he picked a fight with a nuclear-armed North Korea. You call Kim Jong-un little rocket man and call him short fat man and threaten him with fire and fury. You know, so when it comes to drones, Trump didn't do more drone strikes. He loosened all restrictions on drone strikes, making it easier to kill innocent civilians. And when it comes to doing a genocide, Trump oversaw the Yemen war, the deadliest and most violent year up to that point. So when he said he was against the war in Iraq, when George Bush sent the troops to Iraq, he wasn't for it. He's just he is just conveniently saying, oh, you know, I'm not for war. I was never against, you know, I was never for the war. He can say that no, but when we asked him back then, he said nothing. He was blank. So this little five-minute clip here before we close out tonight is the topic about how Trump is not anti-war, and this is trying to debunk the dangerous myth that he's anti-war. And Media Hassan, who used to work for MSNBC but was fired because of his pro-Palestinian stance, not pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian stance, he is the narrator of this. And so we're going to listen, talk about it a little bit, and then close out the show. This is Kitchen Politics 123, intelligent talk for intelligent people. And here's Mina Hassan.
Meeting people in left-wing circles, in Muslim circles, in Arab-American circles, who tell me that they're voting for Donald Trump because he isn't a hawk. He didn't start any new wars. He killed fewer Muslims than Democratic presidents do. This argument is doing my head in. Because it just isn't true. It's total nonsense. So when it comes to Trump and war and killing Muslims in particular, it's time for a debunking. Number one, he didn't start any new wars, they say. Well, it's not like he didn't try. We just got lucky. In his first year in office, he picked a fight with nuclear-armed North Korea. He called Kim Jong-un little rocket man, called him short and fat, and threatened him with fire and fury. Trump's own Homeland Security officials were so shit scared that he'd start a major war with North Korea that they had multiple meetings to prepare for a nuclear attack, a North Korean nuclear strike on American soil. In his last year in office, Trump illegally assassinated Iran's top general, Qasem Soleimani, via a drone strike. And the only reason we didn't have a full-on war with Iran is because the Iranians chose to show restraint and not respond in kind. Had Iran, say, assassinated General Mark Milley, America's top general at that time, we would have been instantly in World War III as a result of Trump's actions. Let's be clear about that. In fact, Milley says Trump wanted to attack Iran after he lost the 2020 election. Trump also reportedly wanted to attack Venezuela. And now for his second term, he's considering airstrikes on Mexican soil. How's that for a new war? Not far away in the Middle East, but on our own southern border. By the way, this very specific and annoying claim that he was the first president to start no new war, that's just not true. Former president and Nobel Peace Laureate Jimmy Carter would like a word. And look, this whole not starting new wars thing is a distraction from the fact that Trump expanded and escalated pretty much every war that he inherited from Barack Obama. Remember, Obama famously didn't bomb the Assad government in Syria, but Trump did in 2017 and again in 2018. Obama didn't drop the single biggest bomb on Afghanistan, the mother of all bombs, the Moab, but Trump did. In fact, the number of Afghan civilians killed by airstrikes on Trump's watch went up 330%. And as writer Ben Krause points out, quote, there were more civilian deaths from airstrikes in Somalia under Trump than under Bush and Obama combined. Trump also oversaw a 200% increase in airstrike deaths in Iraq and Syria. Number two, well, at least he wasn't a drone president, they say, like Obama was. Look, Obama was indeed a drone president who killed a lot of innocent people with drone strikes. But you know who was a bigger drone president? Donald Trump. Yeah, you just haven't heard about it because much of our media is a joke and because both Muslims and the left, for some reason, have given Trump a pass on this issue. Here are the facts that you need to know. Donald Trump did more drone strikes in his first 2 years in office than Barack Obama carried out over 8 years in office. In fact, Trump didn't just do more drone strikes, he loosened all restrictions on drone strikes, making it even easier to kill innocent civilians. And it was Joe Biden, for all his sins on Gaza, who came along and almost ended the drone war without much fanfare and without much credit. Number three, well, at least Trump didn't do a genocide like Biden did in Gaza. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
in Yemen. How have we just forgotten the Yemen genocide with tens of thousands of deaths, thousands of kids killed, and a man-made famine? It started on Obama's watch, yes. But in 2018, it was President Trump who oversaw the Yemen war's deadliest and most violent year up until that point. It was Trump who was in charge when a U.S.-made bomb was dropped on a school bus full of Yemeni kids. And it was Trump, like Biden with Israel, who bypassed Congress to get weapons and bombs to his pal MBS in Saudi Arabia, which were then used to kill even more innocent Yemenis en masse. So when you say Trump didn't do a genocide, didn't mass kill Muslims, you're erasing the people of Yemen, and you should really be ashamed of yourself. To be clear, Trump did try and start new wars, expanded old wars, increased drone strikes, and helped do a genocide in the Middle East. He also supported the invasion of Iraq, wanted America to steal Iraq's oil, and pardoned and praised American soldiers convicted of war crimes in Iraq. He's the president who ramped up the defense budget and surrounded himself with neocon hawks like Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, and John Bloody Bolton. And he's the presidential candidate now who is surrounding himself again with hawks, China hawks, who would love nothing more than a new American war with the nuclear-armed People's Republic. So Donald the Dove? No, that's ridiculous. It's perhaps the biggest, most annoying, and most demonstrable lie in American politics right now. Don't fall for it.
There you have it. Nina Hassan talking about Donald Trump and the myth that he is...
Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah, that Trump is an anti-war president. He is very for war. You know, he went through the statistics and everything. I don't know what to say at this point, with 2 months to go before the election. When Trump moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, he almost started a war. I still remember how kicked Palestinians were over that. You know, and don't forget his relationship with the Taliban. Trump was a disaster, you know, and the oil, we're in it for the oil. He said it. That's his exact words, the oil. We are there for the oil, you know. So thank you for Nina Hassan for breaking it down for us and everything. Trump also gave recognition to Israel annexation of illegally occupied territories, including East Jerusalem, as its eternal capital, thus encouraging more war with Israel. You know, why, you know, kick up the ant's nest? You know, because Trump, just being Trump, you know, read this reality check and this video that we just played and Nina Hassan, you know, telling us what happened is a good thing. So I hope people listen keenly because that's who Donald Trump is. You know, he almost started a war with Iran in the Middle East. the man is not suitable for to be president of the United States. But I digress. I can't say that no more times in different ways.
No.
And before we go, what for say a big shout out to Kevin Bacon and Kira Cedric. Yesterday, I celebrated 36 years as husband and
happy
wife.
Happy anniversary.
And People Magazine, People.com. Had this video of them singing to each other in the bathroom, which was getting ready. It was such a romantic video. I put on the Kitchen Party 123 community page for all to see.
I saw that interview. It was cute.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'll have to look for it. I didn't see it.
And shout out to Fred Prince Jr.
Yeah.
Special shout out to Fred Prince Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar. There have been a Hollywood couple a long time. And you know in Hollywood, Hollywood can be, you know, very shallow. It's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good to say that these people are together after all these years. Travis and Saucy, much love to you also. You know, it must be hard to be living on the telescope and everything. You know, kind of media, the paparazzis don't give people like that a break. You know, so
no.
You know,
I couldn't live that life.
Yeah, same here.
I couldn't live that life. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me.
Yeah, man.
Everyone
anyway,
have a good evening.
Start.
Thank you.
Yes, David Frank.
Thank everyone.
Here in New Mexico. Good night. We'll see you Sunday.
Night.
Good night, all. Lori,
good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you so much. Bye now. Thank you.
Let's get Let's get together to fight this holy Armageddon. When the men come, there will be no do. As we see on the central stand, there is no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.
Corporations are gouging families. Trump is focused on giving them tax cuts. But Kamala Harris is focused on you.
Building up the middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency.
She'll make groceries more affordable by cracking down on price gouging. And she'll cut housing costs by taking on corporate speculators. Middle class families build America. We need a leader who has their back.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
On the border, the choice is simple. Kamala Harris supports increasing the number of Border Patrol agents. Donald Trump blocked a bill to increase the number of Border Patrol agents. Kamala Harris supports investing in new technology to block fentanyl from entering the country. Donald Trump blocked funding for technology to block fentanyl from entering the country. Kamala Harris supports spending more money to stop human traffickers. Donald Trump blocked money to stop human traffickers. Kamala Harris prosecuted transnational gang members and got them sentenced to prison. Trump is trying to avoid being sentenced to prison. There's two choices in this election. The one who will fix our broken immigration system and the one who's trying to stop her.
Donald Trump's back, and he's out for control.
I would have every right to go after them.
Complete control.
I will wield that power very aggressively.
And he has a plan to get it.
Detailed plans for exactly what a movement will do.
It's called Project 2025, a 922-page blueprint to make Donald Trump the most powerful president ever, overhauling the Department of Justice, giving Trump the unchecked power to seek vengeance, eliminating the Department of Education, and defunding K-12 schools, requiring the government to monitor women's pregnancies, and severe cuts to Medicare and Social Security. Donald Trump may try to deny it, but those are Donald Trump's plans.
Well, revenge does take time, I will say that. And sometimes revenge can be justified.
He'll take control. We'll pay the price.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Sometimes life is as much about the lessons you learn as the lessons you teach. When I grew up, community was a way of life. My high school class was 24 people. I was related to half of them. I learned to be generous towards my neighbors, compromise without compromising my values, and work for the common good. My dad was in the Army, and with his encouragement, I joined the Army National Guard when I was 17. I served for 24 years. I used my GI benefits to go to college and become a public school teacher. I coached football and taught social studies for 20 years. And I tried to teach my students what small town Nebraska taught me, respect, compromise, service to country. And so when I went into government, that's what I carried with me. I worked with Republicans to pass an infrastructure bill, cut taxes for working families, signed paid leave into law. I codified abortion rights after Roe got overturned. Because I go to work for the common good. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. Because that's what this election is about. It's about your future. It's about your family. And Vice President Harris knows that. She too grew up in a robust family. She too looked to work every day making sure families cannot just get by, but get ahead. We believe in the promise of America and those values I learned in Nebraska, and we're ready to fight for them. Because as Kamala Harris says, when you fight, we win.
grew up in a middle-class home. She was the daughter of a working mom, and she worked at McDonald's while she got her degree. Kamala Harris knows what it's like to be middle class. It's why she's determined to lower health care costs and make housing more affordable. Donald Trump has no plans to help the middle class, just more tax cuts for billionaires. Being president is about who you fight for, and she's fighting for people like you.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.